All right, guys, we are here with actor extraordinaire Billy Baldwin.
It's time to unify, because that's what we do as Democrats, regardless of who the opponent is, but we particularly have to combine Hillary now against Donald Trump. There's, you know, he's just a very... I know him, and I know him for a long time. He's got many interesting and positive qualities. He's unfit for office. He's a bully. He's thin-skinned. He's negative. He's cynical. He's hostile. He's paranoid. He's imbalanced. He's a race baiter. He's a fear-monger. And he's just he's a buffoon.
Does your brother feel the same way he did The Apprentice with Donald Trump?
No. My brother Alec does, but not my brother Stephen. No, he's a supporter. You got to remember, Stephen is... the pediatrician dropped him on the head the day he was born. He's never fully recovered, so he's got an excuse. He's got a brain injury that he never fully recovered from.
The Below the Belt Show is closed caption for the hearing impaired. It is now time for the Bad Boys of Baltimore. Pimps up. Goes down.
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
Wax on, wax off.
They're here.
Yeah, that's right, guys. It's time for another episode of BTB. That's Below the Belt Show in the Mother Effin' House. I'm your host, Al Soto, a.k.a. Celebrity Soto, a.k.a. a lot of immeasurable names. We're here for another stellar episode from top to bottom. So let's go ahead and introduce the panel tonight, starting with one of the BTB originals. Guys, he is comedian extraordinaire. He is the Charlie Sheen of Baltimore. He is Dr. Lickalotopus. He is the one and the only... Cokie.
By the way, there are some really good-looking tops and bottoms here tonight, okay?
Just
our guest co-host tonight.
Yes,
really,
yes.
Really nice looking. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, that's what we do here on Below the Belt Show. We have to provide that for your listening pleasure, although you can't see it, but we'll be posting photos of in-studio guests. We're going to introduce. That's right. First, she's been here before. She is actress extraordinaire, voiceover actress extraordinaire. The list goes on and on. Fellow Filipina?
Yes, I sure am.
The one and the only. We missed you here on Below the Belt Show. Miss Allie Dash.
Hey, guys. So happy to be back again.
Good to have you back on Below the Belt Show, Allie Dash.
Yes, thank you.
We missed you. Where you been?
I know. I missed you guys, too.
I know you've been busy.
I have.
Yeah. And I saw that that you're now a commercial star, at least recently. You've I'll let you explain your commercial because it's a pretty cool commercial.
Sure. So back in January, I filmed a commercial for Destination DC, Date Nights DC, and just promoting going on dates in Washington, D.C. There's also a website, datenightsdc.org, which gives tons of different ideas for so many wonderful date ideas in Washington, D.C. So that was a really fun commercial to film.
And we got a chance to watch it.
Can that app get you actual dates?
It's ideas for you and your significant other.
So not to be confused with Match.com or
JDates
or any of those sites you go on.
Just
I don't, but thank you.
Oh, okay.
Just so many wonderful places in D.C. to go on a date. And it's actually started airing on... different stations in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia.
All right.
In the beginning of February, which has been
awesome.
Pretty cool.
So we checked out the commercial, and I have to admit, it was really well produced, and definitely you're certainly a representative of diversity, which is great.
Thanks.
And also, you look great in that dress, or whatever you're wearing.
Thank you. Becca Sherman was the wonderful fashion designer.
Yeah.
Stylist, and yeah, she's wonderful.
Sweet. And so the actor that played your date, what's his name?
Bradley Dubin.
Okay, cool. So you actually had to kiss Bradley in the commercial.
Yes.
Yes. So being, I guess you're married, so BTB listeners might know Allie is as a married woman, but she actually, you actually, with no qualms about it, you had a couple kisses with your co-star.
I've had to kiss boys in the past, and it's just it's acting. And
it's legal cheating. My friend Michael Kelly on House of Cards calls it legal cheating.
Legal cheating.
Legal cheating, and I think it's a great term.
Because there's nothing like romantic about it. It's your job. And I'm super open with my husband. We've been together for over about 12 and a half years now.
Wow.
So we've been together for a very long time. I tell him everything. He's super supportive, and he's just like, I'm, you know, super supportive, and he's like, you're making money. So.
And that's right. That's awesome, Allie. And we do have one more person to introduce in studio, a first-time visitor on Below the Belt Show, someone I've known for many years. Very stylish and sophisticated. She's going to be doing a fashion segment here on Below the Belt Show, as she is quite the fashionista. She does her own fashion blog, Style Haas. Let's go ahead and introduce. That's right. She is fashionista herself, Sue Fox.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be on the show tonight at Below the Belt Show. So thanks for having me.
Isn't that interesting? She's the fashionista.
Sure.
And I'm the sexinista.
Okay.
So she does it with clothes on. I do it without.
Okay.
Yin-yang kind of thing going on. It's pretty cool.
Allie and Sue, you might have heard me address Koki as Dr. Lickalotopus. Koki, you have a PhD, correct?
That's correct.
What's the PhD in?
Vagina eating.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
You know what? He kind of reminds me of the straight version of our other guest that we have on
Lion?
The show. No.
Don't please don't say gay Alex.
Alex. Alex the Russian.
Yes,
Alex.
He's very nice. I like him. Seriously.
Alex Oleg the Russian, yes. Right? Well, they're both Jewish.
Ah.
And I think that's where the similarities end, right?
Pretty much.
Okay. So Sue Fox,
because with Alex, he actually spent 9 months in a womb, and he's spending the rest of his life trying to get away from one, whereas I will spend the rest of my life trying to crawl back inside of one. So we're much different, trust me.
How's your matzo ball recipe?
Not bad, you know, when I have to go, when I have to make it.
Okay. So ladies and gentlemen, that is Koki. Guys, we have a phenomenal show from top to bottom. I mean, we got so much to talk about in the world of entertainment, just stuff on a personal level, some really cool stuff that I got to be a part of just yesterday. My gosh, time does fly because it seemed like it was such a fun, exciting shoot. But I got a nice little featured role on an upcoming movie called Vox Lux. Stars Natalie Portman and Jude Law. Play one of the roadies, which is kind of cool because Natalie Portman, she plays a pop star. Originally, her role was actually given to Rooney Mara, and Rooney had to bail out of the project for whatever reason. But I guess that's really all I can say because it was publicized that Natalie Portman will be portraying the roles as a pop star. But
that's awesome.
Wow,
in production now in New York City, and Jude Law is also in it, as well as Stacey Martin. Of course, you know Jude Law from a slew of films. I mean, he's been on everything. Stacey Martin, you might know from two very naughty films, very naughty erotic films called Nymphomaniac, which is actually on Netflix. Have you seen that, Koki?
No, but okay. I made my own version.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
That was okay.
Like years ago for 3 days. I mean, it was, I had many hours. So, I actually made it before they made their film.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So what did you?
But mine's untitled, though. But it
untitled.
Would, yeah,
untitled and uncut.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Uncut. So you didn't. Correct. You missed your
calling.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No. Well, yeah.
I sort of did. Yes. I probably did. Yeah.
I meant your bris.
Oh, right.
Because it's uncut.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Guys, we have a phenomenal show from top to bottom. We have a really awesome guest from our friends over at the NPR firm. Ashley Buck makes my life a lot easier because she actually emails and asks if Below the Belt Show would be happy to interview some of her awesome clients, like we had Hiro Kanagawa,
Cokie were there for that. From Altered Carbon, which I've already watched two episodes. It's a fantastic show.
Has a nudity.
It does have nudity, as we confirmed with Hero.
But how is it?
It's fantastic. Okay. It's fantastic. It's definitely worth tuning in. We actually have another one of her clients, an actor named Mark Hildreth, who will be playing Gordon Wright. He's an FBI counterterrorism expert, alongside Jeff Daniels, who you might know from such amazing projects as Newsroom and Dumb and Dumber, whatever. Jeff Daniels has been in a ton of stuff. But the Hulu series is called The Looming Tower. It premieres next week, February 28th. So this is a really cool premise of a show. It takes place, I think, in the late 90s, and it talks about the rising threat of Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda. And it takes a very controversial look at the rivalry between the CIA and FBI, which might have inadvertently caused 9/11, which is insane. The fact that the drama that unfolded between the FBI and the CIA, the disagreements they might have had, might have caused it. So this is, you know, it's a conspiracy theory, obviously. But to see the origin of that would be really cool. Mark's been in a ton of stuff, so we're going to talk to Mark later in the program. But let's go ahead and talk about everything going on in the world of entertainment. So here we go.
It is time for the Hollywood Report. That's hot. That's bananas. That's off the chain.
All right, that's Hollywood news, guys. Lots of stuff going on in the movie world. We got to talk about a movie that I think three of the four of us in this room have watched, right? That's the number one movie in America. That's Black Panther, Marvel's Black Panther, which I believe raked in over $250 million. This news source says $263 million in the U.S. within 5 days, which is unprecedented. Actually eclipsed the mark for Star Wars The Force Awakens. So I'm sorry, not eclipsed. Second only to Star Wars Force Awakens. And, you
That's
know,
awesome.
Star Wars has a phenomenal following. And to be just right behind Star Wars is pretty impressive. Just yesterday, Tuesday, took another $21 million. So... it's a fantastic film. It got incredible reviews. And myself and Cokie, Allie, we've all seen it.
It was phenomenal.
Did it live up to the hype?
Yes, absolutely. It was incredible. Between the acting, the storyline, the costumes, the soundtrack, it was fantastic.
Quality film. Like you said, the acting, the costume was fantastic. The special effects were great. The story was fantastic. Mm-hmm. You were actually on the edge of your seat. The battle scenes were...
Well, we technically were on the edge of our seats.
Yes, because people were kicking the back of our chairs.
People were getting into the film
and getting
late
into the film as well,
and
right?
Making
right.
us get up and down.
Oh, right. Did you guys go see it together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, that's why I thought Cokie should definitely be here this week too.
Cool.
So we can give our insight on the film. I mean, I got to say, this definitely ranks in some of the top Marvel movies.
I agree.
Right up there with Captain America: Civil War, and maybe the first Guardians of the Galaxy, in my opinion.
Wow.
In my opinion, because I love both those films so much. We'll have to see. Obviously, Marvel's got a slew more movies out to come. Infinity War coming out in May.
Oh,
and Ant-Man
wait.
And the Wasp
oh,
coming out in July.
Oh,
so
that
Marvel.
Looks really good, too.
So it's a lot of Marvel films. But what I loved is that they're actually, looks like they're setting up for a sequel. Obviously, I wouldn't doubt there would be a sequel because, my gosh, I mean, it was so successful. But, you know, the film actually, you know, became a little bit of a political thing. A lot of memes have come out about the film. As a lot of blacks have said that they're excited about this movie because it's the first movie where they're not as portrayed as ghetto and or slaves or prisoners or very derogatory type roles and very positive roles. And, you know, this is the first movie. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. there's been a lot of films that shown black actors in a positive light, but nonetheless, I mean, they
but
should definitely
with an all-star cast, you are an all the whole cast being
the entire.
You know,
usually, there's like a few great, but having the entire like.
That's a good point.
I think that's what makes this film a lot different than the
because a lot of people brought up, oh, well, Samuel L. Jackson played a Jedi, and Denzel Washington played a lawyer, and Morgan Freeman played God, you know, in all these movies. But yeah, it's a good point. Were those films primarily black? They weren't.
And the women were. Mm-hmm. Like, I love how they portrayed the women as such strong, fierce, amazing characters.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I said on Below the Belt Show, Lupita Nyong'o is not my favorite person because I did get a chance to meet her. She wasn't the warmest, friendliest person I've met.
Really? She seems like not, she would be.
Well, maybe she was in a rush or maybe she was having a bad day. Well,
she could
have been having
been
a bad day because
we all have our bad days.
We were at the SAG Awards, so like, how could she have had a bad day at the awards? But no, I mean, only just I'm comparing to everyone else. Like Margot Robbie, for instance, she was amazing. She was a complete sweetheart. So I mean, and it's the same event. So I don't know. Anyways,
well, on Instagram, Chris Hemsworth did say that he thought the Black Panther, when he went to see it, was a wow, wow, wow. He was blown away. And he said for folks to get out and see it if you haven't already. And he congratulated everyone that was involved. And he quoted it at an epic work. So a little shout out to Chris Hemsworth and Black Panther. And on Instagram, he was raging at 110 likes for 110,000 likes on that one. So
yeah, well, Chris Hemsworth is part of the Marvel Universe. As you know, he's Thor, you know, and Thor Ragnarok was a fantastic film. So
I just watched Thor Ragnarok
evening. Oh, you just watched Thor Ragnarok this evening. Nice.
Me and my husband and the kids, we've been watching the Marvel movies from the beginning.
So okay, because, good.
Especially my son.
Wait,
he
you started
it.
All the way from Iron Man. The first Iron Man.
Yes, so we started from Iron Man.
That's 10
and
years
now
of films.
We've been like every week we're watching one or more. And my son, he likes it, but he gets bored sometimes halfway through.
Okay.
He's 6. And then my daughter, though, who's 8, is obsessed with it like we are.
So we know what to get her and her husband for Christmas.
What's that?
Movie tickets. So we can send them out on a date and go out and get to the damn movies. Right. You know?
Volunteering to babysit.
I could. I
we
love
finally
kids,
made it.
You know? Sue Fox, I know you're a newbie here, but you have to speak in the mic when you're speaking.
Gotcha.
Forgot to remind you about that. That's okay. But yeah, the Marvel. I mean, that's 10 years of films.
Marvel Studios have been, especially watching it from the beginning, just seeing how far they've come. And this is the first time that I actually watched them all in order.
Yeah. Wow. So
I'm obsessed.
It's a lot of that must take a lot of time, I imagine. But you have to add 2 more movies this year. With the Infinity War and, of course, Ant-Man and the Wasp, which looks fantastic. Any other comments about Black Panther?
My whole negative point of the film was I didn't like that you saw the two different parts of the tribes, of the African tribes, fighting against one another. Okay. If they had stayed more true to just doing, you know, Black Panther against, you know, the bad guy and introducing another bad person instead of
didn't
having
didn't they
that
not do
negative,
that with Michael Jordan though?
They did, but having the two tribes, but they still had the inner, you know,
the inner conflict,
the inner conflict between tribes. To me, you're seeing that in day to day life, right? What's happening in the streets of where we live in Baltimore and other cities in the United States.
Sure.
So to take that negative element out of and having the quote-unquote black stereotype, taking that out of the film and just concentrating on the two negative characters, for me, would have been better.
Okay.
So removing that would have been, was pretty much my only gripe. Everything else I thought was done really well.
Yeah, and for listeners, if you haven't seen Black Panther and you don't want any spoilers, I guess you should kind of tune out because I guess we'll talk about a few things. But you mentioned the struggle, but at the end, the tribe kind of banded together against the common enemy.
Yeah.
Michael B. Jordan, but I know it definitely set the tone for a sequel. Of course, being the number one movie and raking in so much dough at the box office, you know, I'm sure that will be the next film in production.
So,
for sure.
So let's hope that now in the future we can put all this stereotype that, you know, this ethnic group can't do this and this, you know, this particular person, woman, male, because everybody at the end, we're here to see stuff and entertain us, mm-hmm. and getting, you know, drawn into, you're black, you're white, you're Asian, you're Filipino, you're gay, you're straight, you're a woman. It's mm-hmm. just, I think we are at the beginning stages of ending all that, yeah. you know, dysfunctionalism, especially in Hollywood. But I'm sure it'll still go on for quite a while.
Yeah.
But let this be a mark in cinema to show that this can be done.
Yes.
And be done well.
Positive
and everybody's
sure.
entertained no matter what color.
Exactly.
They are,
and so, that's what I loved about it, you know.
We should start a hashtag, One Team, One Dream.
Oh, all right.
Okay. So, which is cool. So, Ryan Coogler.
Now, real quickly for the yeah. sequel, mm-hmm. what I think they should do is introduce some white guys sleeping with the black women to balance things.
Okay. I almost
thought
Martin Freeman's character was going to hook up with Panther's younger sister.
Right.
Shuri?
That's a bit of an age difference.
Oh, but she took care of him.
Oh,
and,
that's great. He's and your grandpa.
And, well, okay, and then
very fatherly.
Okay. Well, it is Hollywood. But you know how she
17.
Came out of the hut. She came out of the hut where Winter Soldier was in the. I'm sorry for listeners again. We were talking
spoilers.
Oh,
but I was so. Oh,
one
gosh,
of the end credits.
The end credits so
was
excited.
Shuri taking care of. Taking Bucky. Care, quote right. unquote.
Okay, I can get on board with that. I can get on board with her and
a
Bucky.
A Bucky, right. Yeah. Winter Soldier. Right.
The other guy, he's way too old. He's too old for her.
She's right. That is right.
Martin Freeman, you know.
So maybe in the upcoming films, she'll put an arm on him. You know, because his arm's gone.
His arm's
and
gone.
And he'll
right.
put the arm
oh,
up her skirt or
oh
something.
Oh, my God. So, wow. It'd
be pretty cool.
Shuri was great. She was
hilarious.
She was cute. She was sarcastic. She was a brain.
So she was born in, I think, Guyana, and she moved to
raised
Britain.
To England, right.
England.
Raised in England, yeah.
Oh, very cool.
A lot of those actors are. Daniel Kaluuya, who we saw in Get Out, who played, I guess, the former right-hand man of Panther, of T'Challa?
Yeah,
the main guy?
T'Challa.
Yeah, T'Challa, yeah. He's also British as well. So I guess it doesn't surprise me with the British influence.
When I was looking on IMDb after the movie, I saw a couple of those actors were on
yeah.
Doctor Who.
Oh, okay, okay.
Like, oh,
which ones
British.
Are on who?
The girl who played Shuri.
Oh,
and then,
she was on Doctor Who. Okay.
Yep. And then the actor, the two you just named.
Okay, cool.
Were both in
Daniel Kaluuya? No way.
He was in. You've never seen the show, but
yeah,
he was in,
I never got into who.
One of the specials of David Tennant.
Oh, cool.
Right before he left.
That's awesome.
And so the girl, I think her name is Tanisha Wright, is the, you know, that's her name.
Mm-hmm.
She played on a show, I think, in England called Bananas. Where I think there was another role she played. I don't know if it was that particular role where she was a gay character when she was really young. So it's pretty cool. She's got a lot of range. I've heard her do almost an American accent, a British accent, you know, now the African accent. So she's a really dynamite, strong actor.
They must have worked
That's
with a
awesome.
Dialect coach to get all their accents to,
to be
on the same mm-hmm. level, because we're talking about actors from different parts of the world, you know, mostly England and in the U.S., I guess. But where's Chadwick Boseman from? Is he American? I wasn't really familiar with his work before Panther.
So.
I think he is from the United States.
Okay, he's U.S. Okay,
yeah.
And of course we know Danai Gurira as Michonne from The Walking Dead.
She is amazing in anything
that
she's
who
in.
Who killed it? And you know who also did a good job? Andy Serkis.
Oh, he is brilliant.
Yeah. He did a fantastic
job. His crazy, he was phenomenal.
Yeah. So the director's name is Ryan Coogler, and Ryan Coogler.
Oh, I thought you said Coogler.
Another African-American, young African-American director who actually I got a chance to work on one of his sets on Creed, shot in Philadelphia. And it's amazing as a young director what he's accomplished so far in this film. But he was quoted as saying, "I'm struggling to find the words to express my gratitude, but I will try. Filmmaking is a team sport, and our team was made up of amazing people from all over the world who believed in the story. Deep down, we all hope that people will come see a film about a fictional country on the continent of Africa made up of a cast of people of African descent." And he said, "Never in a million years did we imagine that you would all come out this strong." So like you said, it wasn't a black audience. It was everybody. Everybody came out to see this theater, and sorry, everybody came out to the theaters to see this film.
even if they were late.
Yeah. Even if they were late.
Even if they were, you know, brothers and sisters coming to the theater late and interrupting me and stepping on my feet and kicking the back of my fucking seat and dropping
that
popcorn.
That was fucking annoying.
And dropping popcorn all over my hair.
Oh,
but
my
that's
gosh.
Okay, you know.
That's
Where'd
okay.
Where did you guys go see the movie?
We went and saw it at White Marsh. Yes.
So, Sue, you have a comment about some of the fashions from Black Panther?
Yeah, I would like to say that
the costumes, or is it more so the...
Actually, it was the purple carpet.
Oh, the purple carpet.
Yeah,
okay, cool.
Yeah, they were rocking some styles, including Donald Glover. He rocked the house.
That would be Donald Glover.
Oh.
I think I'm going to be correcting your names all day.
Too much Lindt chocolate today. Okay. So basically, he rocked the house wearing Dolce & Gabbana in a beautiful tangerine suit.
Okay. Tangerine. Okay.
Yes. And Chadwick Boseman wearing Armani looked lovely. And Lupita Nyong'o, her hair was up, and she was wearing a royal purple jeweled gown by Alain Versace. Michael B. Jordan, shout out to him. He was looking very sharp as a tack in a Calvin Klein suit, very well suited.
Okay.
And Danai Gurira, wearing a Victor and Roth, looked very feminine. She had a beautiful pink ruffle dress on.
Okay.
So kudos to all those that showed up on the purple carpet.
The purple carpet. That's interesting they decided to make it purple. Huh. But let's not forget about the costuming. I thought the costuming was fantastic.
I knew a punk rocker on high school had a purple carpet. Oh, sorry. That was not, that's some other carpet. Never mind.
Oh,
that's
not a, in the a, house.
No. Okay. No.
Wow. Okay.
She did.
Is this prior before waxing was in, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of
She was an art student. Okay. So she dyed her pubic hair and it was purple.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is Koki, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Koki. Oh, you have a meme. What's the meme
I
say?
I do. the meme says, the two white actors in Black Panther also played Gollum and Bilbo Baggins.
Yes.
Meaning they're the two Tolkien white guys of the movie.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Tolkien.
Oh, my God. Tolkien. I love it.
I died laughing.
That's a Lord of the Rings thing. That's great. That's great. There's another meme that came out. Like, it said... You know, don't get all crazy because we're dressed like the people from Coming to America. Because, you know, it's the movie's about, Black Panther's about African royalty. And Coming to America was also about African royalty as well. So some people cosplayed as Eddie Murphy's character, James Earl Jones' character in Coming to America. And then they showed in that same meme, Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter fans dressed up in cosplay. So, you know, I thought it was, I mean, you know, whatever, anybody can cosplay that that wants to. I mean, it doesn't matter, you know. And if I guess because maybe they thought, well, Black Panther, it's not a Black Panther character, but you know, the whole tie-in is the fact it's also African royalty. So, but I didn't see any cosplayers when we saw it. But
I saw pictures of but I didn't see any at my theater either. But okay. I did also went on Saturday.
There you go. Yeah, I think the hardcore like there's a lot of Star Wars cosplayers opening night. Like they'll come out to see the film. So Disney is coming strong, of course. Incredible 2.
Oh,
Incredibles
2. I'm so excited.
Are you a fan of The Incredibles? Yes. This is a sequel to the 2004 film. Wow, it's been that long since the last Incredibles film, but it's the trailer's out, scheduled to hit theaters in June 2018. Sam Jackson will return, Holly Hunter, Craig T. Nelson. They'll all be back for that. So I mentioned Vox Lux, the film that I actually got to work in, which is great. Just a little bit more on Vox Lux.
Sounds like a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
Hey, hon, can you get that Vox Lux out of the closet for me, please? I spilled some popcorn.
It's written
with extra butter.
It's written and directed by Brady Corbett, and whose credits include Mysterious Skin and Funny Games. Again, we were saying that Rooney Mara had originally been attached to the film, dropped out, and then Portman was circling the project and eventually accepted that role, which I'm excited about. So it follows the rise of an artist named Celeste. So Natalie plays the pop star Celeste from the ashes of a major national tragedy to pop superstardom. The film spans 15 years and traces important cultural moments through the singer's eye, starting in 1999 and ending in present day. Looks really, really cool. Natalie Portman's in another really cool movie that's coming out next week.
Oh, Annihilation.
Yeah, actually, is it this week? I think it's this Friday, actually. Yeah. So it's a film called Annihilation. Yep. It's based on the best-selling Southern Reach trilogy, by Jeff Vandermeer. And she's a biologist who enters a mysterious environmental disaster zone to save her husband, Oscar Isaac, Poe Dameron himself, from Star Wars. Jennifer Jason Leigh and Gina Rodriguez. Tessa Thompson, Valkyrie's in it as well. Oh, Benedict Wong is in it too. And Wong plays Wong in Doctor Strange, which is interesting. So it's another all-star cast. So there's a little bit of controversy with Natalie Portman's character. I guess in the books, her character's of Asian descent, so a lot of people are saying this is another whitewashing incident. I don't know. And I think another character is supposed to be half Native American. So two advocacy groups have expressed their displeasure in that. And Natalie had claimed that she had no idea that the character, because they don't really mention it, I guess, explicitly in the book, I guess, or maybe what she had reviewed. There's always going to be some controversy. I know in Hellboy, you know, the Hellboy movie, they actually, one of the actors who was like the main villain in Deadpool, he decided to bail out of the movie because the original character was an Asian character.
And I heard about that.
Yeah, he didn't want any association with that backlash. So, you know, that was a cool thing. I guess as an ethnic actor, I mean, I feel that everything should be very close to source material as possible. It goes around for all genders. If you're going to do a gender bend or an ethnic bend in your story, if it's got to be a special case scenario only, or maybe like a new character. But if you're dealing with the source material and the source material is a certain ethnic descent, no matter what descent was, I think you should really try to stick as close as possible.
So I guess I'm not going to do that character where I was cast as a black female. So that's out.
That would be out. That would be
fuck, man. Yeah, I'm so looking forward to doing that.
Yeah. You think you could have pulled it off?
Probably.
Okay. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, as you know, we talked about this on our show a while ago. The trailer looks really awesome, but Jurassic World 3 already greenlit. It's going to be written by Emily Carmichael.
I know how that third one ends.
You know how the third one ends. Mm-hmm. Okay, go. How does it end?
Yeah, a meteor hits the Earth and they all die.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. All the dinosaurs.
Everybody.
Everybody dies.
Everyone dies. We are just full of happy endings.
So this film is set for release June 11th, 2021. So that's 3 years from now.
It's getting a little too much with Jurassic Park movies, don't you think?
Yeah.
It's a little much.
It was a hot franchise when it came out.
I know, but it's over.
Did you saw Jurassic Park?
Something funny.
She's on the first one.
Vaguely. It's been on the TV.
It's been on the DVR stored or like to watch or?
No, I mean like growing up as a kid, I remember seeing it. But I don't think I've ever actually sat down and watched it. My husband just found out that he's like, I cannot believe
you've never. You're talking about the originals, right?
Yes, the originals.
But the brand new one you haven't seen.
No, I haven't seen the brand new ones.
Because it does kind of tie in to the other one, yeah.
You know, Al, maybe we should get her movie tickets this weekend.
Right, right.
To get her out more
often.
My mom
actually did get me, got us some movie tickets.
There you go. Oh, see? So. Thinking ahead there. Fox, we saw the movie It, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're already planning a sequel. As you know, the first film was all about the kids, and staying true to the story, I think the second half of the It book is the same characters as adults. I guess 30 years later. I guess.
I thought it was. I've never read the book. My husband's reading it right now. Mm-hmm. But I think it's. Isn't it like back and forth? between like the flashback and the present day.
They might do the flashback. Oh, so it might be a flashback and present day. Yeah.
I don't quote me because I could be wrong because I'm not.
That could be very much it.
But
yeah.
I think he said it's going back and forth between the flashbacks of when they're kids and then the present day, I believe, but I could be wrong.
So Jessica Chastain is in talks to play the adult version of the redheaded actress, the young redhead in it.
Oh, very cool.
The adult version?
The adult version.
So there will be a sex version.
Excuse me?
You said adult version.
An adult, well, an older version.
Oh, I thought you meant there was going to be like
an adult character.
I got excited.
A resident pervert.
I thought you meant the actual adult version where... Take
I think it's cool how they did.
Grown up version, is that better?
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
So the character is Beverly Marsh, played by what's her name? Sophie Ellis. Yeah, Sophie Ellis. Jesse Chastain. In talks, not confirmed 100%, but I'm pretty sure she'll do it. Having kids, you're probably a Toy Story fan, yeah?
I am.
They're doing a Toy Story Land at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Awesome.
Might be excited to hear it's gonna.
Do you need tickets for that? We could probably help you out.
Not
the airfare, but the actual. We'll get you into the you and her husband into the park if you'd like to go.
I'm super excited about Star Wars Land.
Yay!
That comes out
that
in 2019.
Awesome.
Wait. So Sue, you're a
Star
Wars girl.
I'm a huge Star Wars.
All right.
Yeah, awesome.
I love her. She's cool. All right.
That's the first time we've heard you. Wow.
Right. Star Wars.
But Star Wars Land is going to be really cool. So that park is actually going to be a planet that we haven't seen in the films before. So it might be in some of the books or something. I'm not sure. But what's cool about it, they're actually going to have like a Mos Eisley Cantina type of place.
Ah, very cool.
And everybody all the employees will be dressed in cosplay, in Star Wars cosplay. So that's really exciting. And you know they're going to have some really kick-ass rides too, so...
And
that's
speaking of Star Wars, Mark Hamill's getting a star on the Walk of Fame.
Very good.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is so overdue, by the way.
It's very overdue. Yeah.
Yes. When I read that news about Mark Hamill getting the star, I was like, I could have sworn he already had a star, but I guess not.
No, not yet, but he's getting one.
Yep. So, the ceremony is going to take place on March 8th at 6834 Hollywood Boulevard in front of El Capitan Theater. And George Lucas and Hamill's co-star, Han Solo himself, Harrison Ford, will help MC. So that's going to be really awesome. So overdue. My gosh. And well deserved, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the iconic Luke Skywalker himself, Mark Hamill, finally getting a star. I believe Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford already have their stars. So.
I believe so.
Yeah, so definitely overdue for sure.
I think... R2-D2 and C-3PO had one.
Oh, and before.
They had one way before Mark Hamill.
They before Mark Hamill?
That?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
The fact that they actually have one before Mark Hamill is insane. All right, so we're going to talk some BAFTA. Like, I know Sue's got this fashion thing, so really quick, we're going to talk about some of the winners of the BAFTA Film Awards. That's the British Film and Television Awards, I believe. And took place at the Royal Albert Hall in London. So winner for the best film, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Fantastic film, by the way, if you haven't seen it. The other nominees were Call Me By Your Name, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, and The Shape of Water. Best director was Guillermo del Toro, director of The Shape of Water. Cookie, have you heard of The Shape of Water?
Yes.
Yeah, and you didn't get a chance to see it, though, have you?
I did not.
Yeah, no, so it's interesting. So this mute woman...
I know about the
falls
film.
In love with this amphibious humanoid and actually has sex with him.
Right.
And then she was talking about having sex with this sea creature by going like this. The hands up and then sticking her hand out. So although it doesn't hang out like humans, it actually has to open up.
Right.
Which is pretty interesting. So they actually started a line of amphibian Shape of Water themed sex toys.
Okay.
So
not my cup of tea.
Right. I didn't think as Dr. Lick that would be your cup of tea.
No, not really. I like the edibles. Okay. Real humans.
Real humans.
Yeah, you know.
Okay, good to know
nothing
you like
artificial.
I'm glad to know you like real humans.
No, no
No pets, no robots, no, none of that stuff. Okay. So
I'm glad to know you like real humans.
Thank you very much.
So you're eco-friendly.
Yeah. Right. Best Actress, winner is Frances McDormand for Three Billboards. Best Actor, Gary Oldman, Darkest Hour. Supporting Actress, who I agree with definitely, is Allison Janney for I, Tonya. She played an awesome role as Tonya Harding's mom in that film. Really a character outside of, I thought, of characters I've seen her play before. Sam Rockwell, Best Supporting Actor for Three Billboards. Original screenplay was Three Billboards. Adapted screenplay was Call Me By Your Name. Outstanding British film in 2008 was Three Billboards. I'm curious, this is technically a British film? I had no idea. I mean, I knew Darkest Hour was. And the other option, the other nominees are also British, but interesting. I guess it really is. Cinematography, Blade Runner 2049. So that was cool. So Sue, you have some comments about some of the fashion at BAFTA.
Yes, I mean, just absolutely stunning and radiant was the Jennifer Lawrence. She looks so chic in her Dior at the BAFTAs. In fact, Extra TV, if you go to Instagram, she was trending at 1,308 likes on Instagram.
Okay.
She absolutely just looks so stunning. And she just stepped out boldly in this beautiful black stunning gown with a white chiffon off of her shoulders. And, you know, BAFTA Awards were supporting hashtag Time's Up movement. Mm-hmm.
We've talked about that on the show many times.
Yeah. And also Duke and the Duchess of Cambridge attended the EE British Academy film.
Awesome. Is that all you have for BAFTA?
That, you know, she was a showstopper in that dress. I still can't get over it.
Oh,
so.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes.
Oh, my God. What's not to love about Jennifer Lawrence? I'm really looking forward to Red Sparrow. Another very sexy role for her we know that she can pull off, obviously. But
a lot of people have been calling it, kind of reminds a lot of people of, like, Black Widow's.
Black Widow's mm-hmm. story,
Black
like
Widow's
her backstory,
backstory,
right?
Like, oh, it's Black Widow's backstory.
But without the but heightened powers, though.
Yeah.
Black Widow has...
No, Black Widow doesn't have any powers.
Well, she has accelerated hand-to-hand combat skills.
That's true, yeah.
But is it... I mean, she kicks a lot of guys' asses, so...
Yeah, she does.
Yeah. So I don't know if it, she... Are we sure that she has no powers? Or was it augmented somehow by, like...
I don't... Maybe.
By something similar to Captain America?
I don't know.
Okay. You could be right. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I could be wrong. I have to look into that.
You could be right. Could be wrong. So the Academy Awards are coming up. That's the next big award show this Sunday. They just start. We talked about the nominees a while ago, but they started to announce the presenters. Includes Gal Gadot, of course, Wonder Woman herself.
Her.
Who's what's not to love about
She's
her? Wow,
gorgeous.
Mark Hamill, who we just talked about, will also present, which is awesome. His co-star Oscar Isaac and Kelly Marie Tran,
yes,
from Star Wars, will also be taking the stage at the Dolby. Armie Hammer, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Gina Rodriguez, Wes Studi, and Zendaya.
Zendaya.
Thank you. I finally fucked up. Zendaya. Is it Zendaya?
Now your second question. I'm
tomato, the, tomato. We know who it is.
I love the diversity.
And, yeah, definitely diverse. And mm-hmm. of course, she was in Spider-Man Homecoming.
She was.
That was on your watch list?
What's that?
Spider-Man Homecoming?
Oh, I've seen Spider-Man Homecoming about 3 times now.
Oh, wow. I loved, like, showing... So my sister doesn't like my nephew watching a lot of TV or movies. Like, once in a while, he'll watch it on the, you know, the iPad or the phone or whatever. But he loves Spider-Man. He loved the Spider-Man shirt I bought him. And I kind of... watch Spider-Man with him, with, you know, without my sister knowing, and she was upset to hear that he watched it. But every time Spider-Man would jump around, he was like, "Do it again, do it again."
Oh, my daughter, I'm pretty sure she has a crush on
great.
Tom Holland. She's watched Spider-Man over and over, and she'll like watch all his interviews and stuff after the credits, and she gets all giggly. And I mentioned she's started crying. She's like, "I don't have a crush on him." She gets all giggly.
Nice, nice.
Do your kids like brag to their friends, "My mommy's an actor. My mom's on TV. Mamas and Thumbs.
I don't know, I think my daughter's like mentioned to a couple of her friends, but I don't know, not a whole lot. No. I mean, they haven't really seen a lot of the stuff. Like, I've seen shown them a couple things, but.
Okay.
Just not till they get older. Don't show them any of the stuff you kissing other guys, because they're going to get confused.
Yeah, have they seen the commercial?
They saw the commercial.
And what? How did they react?
They didn't really say anything. Oh, I don't think they, like, I honestly don't think they were really paying that close attention.
They were paying attention.
But
that's funny.
You're scarred for life.
That's not daddy.
So our special guest will be calling shortly. Let's throw out a couple television things. This is really exciting. As you know, Game of Thrones will not come out until 2019. We are Game of Thrones list for 2018. But Maisie Williams was on Jimmy Kimmel, and she actually admitted on the show that she knows how it ends. And she actually revealed that she actually told her mom how Game of Thrones ends, which she and then said, "Oh, I don't even know I'm supposed to say that." So she could have been in trouble. That's a violation of a non-disclosure agreement.
They're not even allowed to tell.
Yeah, she
like
told her mom.
Members.
She said on Jimmy Kimmel that I told my mom how Game of Thrones ends. And she said being on the show for so long and then having the following that it does, everyone is just waiting for this moment, and you read it, and it's incredible. So she says the ending is incredible. Season 8 will be the final season.
Oh, wow.
Comes out. So you have plenty of time to catch up.
I still need to watch the whole
thing. If you want to know how the show ends, kidnap her mother, and you will find out how the show ends.
Maisie Williams' mom.
And you could probably sell it to a tabloid and make millions of dollars.
Right, probably so.
And get ransom money for the mom, too. So.
Netflix has a new series called Lost in Space. It's a reboot. It comes out on April 13th with Molly Parker Posey, another Parker. Interesting.
Is it a show?
That's a TV series, yes.
TV series.
Yeah.
What was it? Robbie the Robot? What's
so it's like a family travels to space. So that's
Macy
same...
Chabert?
Lacey Chabert, is she in it as well?
She was in the old ones when she was a little kid.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's it. So this
is
going to
be on
what?
Where is this?
It's
going to
be on Netflix.
On Netflix,
yeah,
wow.
Lost in Space.
Very cool, I didn't know that.
Reboot is happening. It drops April 13th, all episodes on Netflix. Lots of reboots, guys, happening in the world. And I mean, it's like, we said many, many times in the show, I mean, I don't even know if Hollywood has any original ideas anymore. It's just they like to go back to the well. We just talked
about last week. Everyone's getting
nostalgic. Yeah, Greatest American Hero, an 80s TV show, is another one.
I used to love the theme song.
Yeah?
Are you going to sing it? Foxy, sing it. Let's hear it.
Sue
Fox.
Come on,
let's hear it.
Need to practice up.
Just get a little line for some of the people that don't know the song.
Speaking of little line.
Wait, let's hear it.
Is there like, na 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 free...
You don't remember? You don't know the song?
It's before my time.
Wow! Really? Wow! Well, that's
believe it or not, it's just me.
Yeah. So that.
Thank you, Fergie.
Good job. Thank you.
I can do a really good Katy Perry if you like.
That was Fergie.
But thank you. That was close to the song, and I'm shocked that you never saw. That was a. It was a really bad show. Wasn't that great? I think the show song was probably the most notable of the whole series.
Yeah, it has been. So. Yeah, for sure. We actually interviewed William Catt at Monster Mania.
Right.
Yeah, in person. Another Netflix show is called The Umbrella Academy. As you know, Mary J. Blige transitioning from singer to actress. She had a great role in Mudbound that she's been nominated in. And this is a live action series, follows the estranged members of the dysfunctional family of superheroes. Luther, Diego, Allison, and Vanya. Claus and Number 5. Okay. That's interesting. Another superhero type of series, but Mary J. Blige will play Cha-Cha. A ruthless and unorthodox hit woman who travels through time to kill assigned targets. Interesting. Jim Carrey is going to be going back to television, as you know. He's been a big comic movie star for years. He started out in Living Color, and now he's going back to the small screen for a Showtime series called Kidding. And Judy Greer has just been cast in it. Jim Carrey will star as Jeff, a.k.a. Mr. Pickles, an icon of children's television.
Would that be organic?
What?
Pickles, organic. I'll leave the.
I think she'll leave the jokes to the the comedian instead.
My pickle's organic and it's kosher. I got a kosher organic pickle. So hey, how you doing? You know, but seriously, but when is this show supposed to come out? When is Mr. Pickle supposed
Mr. Pickles,
to come out?
It has a 10-episode season order. They have not announced the release date just yet. So there you go.
Ooh, nice. Looking forward to that.
Of course, you can see Judy Greer in The Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, is she going to be in the
She's
going to
be in the sequel as well, too, yeah. We had a really great actor by the name of Jeffrey Tambor that was on Below the Belt Show, and he was kind of grouped into those actors that, you know, had sexual assault allegations. So unfortunately, Jeffrey Tambor officially will not be returning to his role on Transparent on Amazon. So he just made the official announcement that he will not be returning. They haven't explained how they're going to, because the series wasn't canceled. They're going to have to figure out how to deal with his character. I mean, he was the lead actor on Transparent, and he's been nominated and won many awards for his portrayal as a transgendered woman. But he said that playing Mara on Transparent has one of the greatest privileges and creative experiences of his life. What has become clear over the past weeks, however, is that this is no longer the job I signed up for 4 years ago. And he said, I've already made clear my deep regret if any action of mine was ever misinterpreted by anyone as being aggressive. So he's basically denying the allegations still, but several, I believe, crew members of Transparent. Not even the crew members, actually his co-star, Tracy Lissette, had said that Jeffrey acted inappropriate. He made sexual advancements and comments at me, but one time it got physical. My back was against the wall in a corner and Jeffrey approached me. He came in close. He put his bare feet on top of mine so I couldn't move. He leaned his body against me and began quick, discreet thrusts back and forth against her body. And she said, I felt his penis on my hip through his pajamas, so I pushed them off.
Maybe he was doing yoga. What's wrong with her? And he was just stretching.
God, I'm not sure
people
about
people get
that
overreactive
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. You know, it's,
man can't stretch in his pajamas.
Well, it was thrusting. It was thrusting motions on her pelvis. I mean, how
she was in the way. Get the fuck out of the way.
Coke, you're unreal,
what's wrong
dude.
With her? And God damn it, another Jew doing something sexual. What's wrong with these people in Hollywood? Stop. Jeez. Embarrassing the religion.
Let's see. So I think there was one more TV thing before we go is that Chris Rock is going to have a Netflix comedy special. Actually, it premiered last Wednesday. I actually saw the awesome Dave Chappelle Netflix special in D.C. He did like a week worth of the same show, and they edited it all together. But to be a part of that process was pretty cool. The stand-up was fantastic. I'm really looking forward to Chris Rock's rendition. So as we try to fetch our special guest caller, let's go ahead and go to a classic cut. As you know, President's Day was this past Monday. So I thought, okay, we always like to do a tie-in for the classic cut on Below the Belt Show. So I figured why not play the Presidents of the United States, the band. This is their song called Peaches, big hit from the 90s. So we'll be back here on Below the Belt Show.
Moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat me a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. Peaches come from a can, they were put there by a man in a factory downtown.
Songs available only on live broadcasts on WMBC and BelowTheBeltShow.com.
That was Peaches by Presidents of the United States. Happy President's Day. I guess belated President's Day. But not necessarily to Donald Trump. But that's neither here nor there. That's okay. Continuing off with a couple more Hollywood tidbits here. I guess condolences go out to the family of a Reverend Billy Graham. He was a renowned pastor. He was actually dubbed America's pastor by George W. Bush. He's widely known for decades as an influential Christian evangelist, preaching the gospel to all who would listen. Had a long life, though. Passed away at the age of 99. Yeah. So this is actually...
See, pray to Jesus, and you will live a long time.
As a Jew, do you still pray to Jesus occasionally?
Sometimes, like if I, you know, somebody's like driving real fast, and I'm trying to cross the street, and they almost hit me, like, oh, thank Jesus, I didn't get hit, and I keep running. Yeah, so something like that, you know, or somebody tries to hold me up in the city with a gun. I go, please, Jesus, don't shoot me, you know. Yeah, stuff like that.
So, a lot of controversy, and I don't know why, because you know what? She gave it her all. It was Fergie and the national anthem that she sang at the All-Star Game.
Bad for her. I mean, she was awful, but I feel bad for all the bullying she's getting now.
She's gotten some bullying for it. She did her own jazzy rendition. So I guess let's go ahead and play the audio of Fergie singing the national anthem.
It's butchering the national anthem.
Okay.
Perform the Star Spangled Banner is an acclaimed singer, songwriter, actress, and 8-time Grammy Award winner from Hacienda Heights, California, Fergie.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early what so proudly wave at the twilight's last
gleaming,
whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the so gallantly streaming in the rocket's red glare. That sounded good. Whoa, hear that?
I wish somebody would have told her. Like, spangled. Oh, gosh, are we all still on
you
air?
Yeah, we can all stop.
No. I thought we were off.
I wanted to actually have the audio for us so we can actually comment.
Gotcha.
She tried something different and. You know, some things are meant to be more traditional, I think.
Yeah.
I
I love that.
I wasn't totally opposed to the song. I thought it was decent. I mean,
I saw you singing along.
Yeah.
The first part was super pitchy. The rendition is definitely different, but after that first pitch problem, she was in tune the whole time. It's just the arrangement she was going for, like a jazzy.
I mean, she is a good like
a jazzy version of that song. And she didn't really have to apologize. Apparently, she apologized, but she really didn't have to.
Well, she got a lot of looks during the, you know.
Yes. Jimmy Kimmel actually had to explain himself why he kind of snickered or smiled during the national anthem. He said, It's just because I love the national anthem. That's simply what it is.
Right.
He loves the national anthem. Right. There was one basketball player that just, they did a close-up of him, and then he just started cracking up. And then I know they asked him, like, why did you laugh? What was your reaction about? And he's like, man, I don't. He couldn't even answer. So he was obviously reacting to Fergie's rendition of the national anthem. But
we love you, Fergie.
I think people should ease
Fergie's,
up.
Fergie's great. I mean, she's a fantastic performer. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people. It's funny because even Roseanne Barr, who notoriously sang the national anthem years ago, said that she thought she was better than Fergie. Which I don't know if I agree with
that. That's
challenge on.
Yeah, not. I don't.
But
think
she
so.
Did say that she's been. So she says she realized this is what Fergie said. She was trying to do something different for the event. She realized it didn't go over well with the public. She's been always been honored and proud to perform the national anthem, and she wanted to try something special for the NBA. So there you go. I feel bad if she, you know.
I feel bad for all the bullying she's getting. Like,
but I think it was really the arrangement, you know, of the national anthem. But Kimmel joked, you know, some things you should just not take risks. brain surgery, driving a school bus. And singing the national anthem, those are things you just do regular. Don't be risky about. Which that was pretty funny. Brain surgery, and I'm supposed to take risks on brain surgery. It was pretty funny. but then a lot of people that are trolling Fergie, I think, cannot hold a candle to her singing. I mean, personally, I mean, she's still a great singer. Just she didn't luck out on the arrangement, and the first note was really bad. You heard the opening. It was like whoa, and then. But yeah, but Cookie, you thought she did well, right?
I think she did okay. I think people should stop hating, get over it.
Yep.
And there'll be other NBA games where another person will sing and
forget I'm sure the lyrics.
And they may forget the lyrics,
right?
And butcher it up, and then we'll have another quandary on our hands. So life goes on.
I think we have a special guest on the line. I'm gonna bring him on. All right, guys, we have on the air right now actor extraordinaire who can be seen in the upcoming The Looming Tower on Hulu, coming out next week on February 28th. Guys, it's actor Mark Hildreth. Mark, can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can.
Mark, great to have you on Below the Belt Show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, man. First off, congratulations on landing a role in The Looming Tower. You're working with an incredible actor, Jeff Daniels, who's been nominated for so many awards for over the years. I mean, he's just an incredible actor. So you're actually playing a character named Gordon Wright, a counterterrorism expert. And this is a really cool premise of a series. And this is a limited series, correct?
Yeah, that's right. It's based on a book called The Looming Tower, written by Lawrence Wright, which is an exhaustive book about the lead up to 9/11, the CIA, the FBI, and takes a critical look at how those agencies behaved during the few years before the 9/11 attacks. And I play Jeff Daniels plays the head of the counterterrorism unit at the FBI at the time. And I play a former Top Gun pilot who was one of the members of his team.
What I think is really interesting about the premise of this series is that the CIA and the FBI inadvertently might have set the stage for the tragedy of 9/11. So is this a little bit of a conspiracy theory, or is there actual facts behind the story of the Looming Tower?
The way I would describe it is because there is a long history, and if you read the book, you'll see that Lawrence gets quite deep into the history of how we ended up where we ended up. But it's not a series that pulls punches. No, it takes a pretty stark look at how we handled the situation, how we got ourselves there, in some cases, long relationships that we had as a country, politically and otherwise, with all kinds of people and forces, And, you know, it doesn't, like I say, it doesn't pull punches about, you know, whether we were doing or whether we did the right thing. And hopefully, you know, people will find that refreshing because it's a show that gets into the gray areas. You know, it's not a show that's black and white. These are the good guys. Those are the bad guys.
Right.
So it's going to ask a lot of questions that are uncomfortable, you know, to think about. It's not a show that says, you know, here's how this, you know, this group screwed up or here's how that group screwed up. You know, Jeff Daniels, who, like you said, he's one of the most consummate professionals and one of the people you want to see succeed because he's one of the nicest guys you can work with. And he plays his role as the head of the FBI counterterrorism unit beautifully because he's a flawed hero. And you see it right in the first episode. He's a guy who desperately wants to do the right thing and screws up sometimes. and everybody's like that. You know, so so Looming Tower gets into the gray areas of that, and hopefully we'll show sort of a human side, the human perspective of what it was might have been like for some of those people who were on the ground fighting this fight back then.
Wow. So will we actually see the events of 9/11 towards, I'm guessing, towards the end of the series?
It's spooky, you know, because the series is produced and directed by some of the best in the business. We have Emmy and Oscar winning producer, writers, directors on Looming Tower. And even in the pilot, it's spooky because you have these beautiful scenes, beautifully written, beautifully acted, beautifully shot scenes, like everything you'd expect from a great Hulu series. And then in the background, there's the towers. And it's weird because you don't think about how you don't see them anymore. You know, now you're, you know, you see New York, and the New York skyline is what it is and what it's been for the last, you know, 16, 17 years. But our show goes right back to what that was like. And so, you know, with digital special effects now, we can put them back in where they would have been. And so everything about New York had to be meticulously recreated. And I'll tell you, I was a little bit shocked because when I went in to get my costume fittings, I was like, these look kind of old-fashioned. And they were like, yeah, they are. It was the 90s. And I was like, yeah, the 90s. Yeah, like the 90s was like not that long ago. They're like, no, the 90s is now a period piece.
It's a period piece.
It's a period piece. It's a period piece like, I don't know,
that's
like the
true.
Old West or something. You
that's
know?
True.
And
so
I was like, that's horrifying.
It's the late 90s, though, right, Mark? It's 1998?
That's right.
Okay, 98. So I guess for maybe the years but right before 9/11. So 98 to 2001, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and we get into the, you know, we get into not only the, you know, this isn't a show where, you know, the Americans are the only characters who are explored, and that the you know, the non-Americans, the Saudis and others, you know, are sort of this nameless, faceless villain. You know, there's long sequences that show and explore you know, what might have been going on for them, and and how some of these guys came to make the decisions that they made. You know, it centers around Jeff Daniels' character and Peter Sarsgaard's character, who plays the head of the CIA counterterrorism unit. We really get into looking at the 9/11 attacks from a lot of different angles. So hopefully it'll give people really something to chew on, you know?
So incidentally, Mark, last night, I believe, on PBS on Frontline, there is a special happening or happened last night and it'll continue next week about Iran, Iraq, the United States government, Russia, and they pointed to, you know, the possibility that the United States had something to do with, you know, the instigation of the fighting between Iran and Iraq, you know, putting the chemical weapons in Saddam Hussein's hands, incidentally starting, you know, these militia wars, between the two Muslim groups of people and other things that I'm not going to get into. But what is your belief system and how the United States played their hand in what's happened in the past in the Middle East?
You know, I'll tell you, my belief is that I wouldn't want to. I think we need to do our due diligence, and hopefully the Looming Tower, at best, you know, gets people thinking and gets people interested to do their own research, to do their own looking, you know, to look into the history of these types of things, these types of issues, and you know, find out the facts. You know, I find it, I gotta say, in this current day and age of social media and how you can say anything, you can say anything you want and have an audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I find it irresponsible as a generalization. You know, when a lot of times, because we're saying things we're not necessarily educated about. I don't claim to be an expert in U.S. foreign policy. You know, or in U.S. history.
Well, you are Canadian, so we can. You're off the hook on that.
I can look at it from a Canadian perspective, you know, so I can say, like, as a Canadian, some of these things, you know, are completely crazy to us, you know, the gun issues and things like that.
Yes.
Those are so much related, you know, to 9/11 directly. But I will say that the producers took pains to represent, you know, these events that we're showing in the Looming Tower respectfully. And as accurately as possible, even to the point where we had folks who were in some of those rooms, CIA and FBI agents, on set with us.
Wow.
Shooting some of these scenes. You know, so there were scenes where I could lean over and go, like, you know, okay, cut. Okay, is that really how we would have said it? You know, was that the tone in the room? Like, what was it really like there? Because we had people who were there.
So there's a realism in authenticity of this.
You have to, I think. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I think it's very accurate. Yeah. From the period, the time period, to the terminology and the way everything is presented. I'm sure those consultants, those terrorism consultants, were very, very necessary.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's always an interpretation. You know, even when you see, you know, based on a true story, it's never really like it was. You know, and there's characters in the Looming Tower that are amalgamations, you know, of different people who were there. And there's some characters like Jeff Daniels' character and a number of others, Peter's character, Peter Sarsgaard, and Michael Stuhlbarg, and Alec Baldwin. Their characters are all based on, you know, real people. And you can go and you can look those folks up. Some of us, you know, were amalgamations of a variety of different characters.
Ah, okay.
It has to be dramatized, you know, so you can never claim that, you know, a movie or a series is what it was like. You know, we're giving a representation of it, but being accurate and being respectful and sensitive to those people that were there, and in this case, because of the subject matter, that's kind of like all of us. We all have that story. We all know where we were when the towers fell, you know?
Wow.
Yes, definitely.
That's something that was really important on Looming Tower, was to be respectful of the fact that we're dealing with subject matter that's very sensitive for people.
So Al and I had a friend that was going to medical school. It was Rich, Dr. Rich.
Dr. Rich, yeah.
Was in medical school during the time at Cornell, during the 9/11 attacks, and he, all the med students had to be, you know, carted down to Lower Manhattan, and the stories that he told. My grandmother incidentally was living in New York during this period of time, and both of those people said that the smell and what they saw, they'll never forget. It was the absolute most horrific thing that these people have ever seen in their lives. It was total,
It still stands as the worst tragedy in modern times.
Annihilation.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No
awful.
Doubt.
Yeah. Yes, it was, it was and is one of the defining moments in all world history, I believe, and it has affected everything about our lives. You know, I mean, entire departments of government were created that didn't even exist before. You know, this was a major event, and and something that, I mean, I remember where I was too. You know, I was in Canada at the time, and I remember, you know, I got a call, and I got up, and you know, it was early on the West Coast still, and I remember watching the news and seeing the second plane hit on TV, and then you knew, you know, it wasn't an accident. And then I just got on the phone and I called everybody I knew. And a lot of people, about half the people I called, you know, were still asleep, and wouldn't have even witnessed it. It's a difficult thing to talk about, and it's painful for everyone, you know. So we have excellent actors who I think, you know, when you watch the show, you're going to see that they represented these people that they're playing as human beings, you know, people who believed in what they were doing, who, you know, maybe were wrong, maybe not, but they, you know, they were trying their best to deal with a situation that, you know, let's face it, was nearly impossible.
Where did the production take place on the Looming Tower?
Looming Tower was shot in New York.
Okay. Yeah, well.
Yeah, we shot principal photography in New York, and then we also shot in couple of other places abroad.
Yeah, and I'm glad they stayed true to that. Sometimes they like to, you know, shoot in places like maybe Calgary, Alberta, Canada, or yeah, or Vancouver, right. British Columbia.
In the middle of the snow, and yeah, and they're supposed to be in Africa or something. it doesn't quite match up.
Right. So let's talk about your career. I mean, my gosh, you have done a ton of voiceover work, and Ellie is in studio here, has done some voiceover work before. How did you successfully transition from what seems to early in your career doing primarily voiceover work to being in front of the camera?
Well, it's interesting, and thank you for the compliment. I did start in voiceover when I was quite young, although I actually started acting first. And I was trained in, acting for film and TV, but theater actually was my first. I'm a classically trained actor, and I started in theater. My first jobs were in theater, and I've always considered myself a theater actor first, because that's how I was trained. But I actually started in film and TV when I was quite young. I was only about 8 years old.
Oh, wow.
And started with voiceover, and then too, and you know, I got lucky in the sense that I grew up in Vancouver, and when I started working, the industry was just starting to build there, and I had wonderful actors around me. Vancouver has a wonderful pool of actors and a whole industry of artists and professionals there. But you know, this was around the time that Ryan Reynolds and you know, there was a bunch of us all sort of cutting our teeth right at the beginning there, and all following, as far as I'm concerned, following the trail left by Michael J. Fox, who grew up about a half hour away from me. And
yeah.
I got my first agent because I walked into this office as an 8-year-old and saw Michael's picture on the wall, and I was like, okay, I'll be an actor.
Aww, very cool. That's awesome.
He was my first hero.
That's cool.
In acting. And of course, not only he's done some a bunch of great voiceover work too, but I was lucky to get to do some cartoons and get into voiceover, and it's been.
Are you personally a fan of any of these? These projects that you did voiceover work for?
You know, I've seen them all, at least most of them. You know, some of the very early ones, I don't remember if I saw every one of them. You know, it's been a while, but yeah, you know, it's a fun experience because, you know, voiceovers, I always say it's one of the best jobs in the world because it's one of the only jobs you can do in your pajamas.
That's awesome.
Right, you can wake up from bed, you don't even have to shower, your hair could be a freaking mess, and you can just
right. I love that
roll
about
up the
voiceover.
Studio. Yes.
Yeah. That, my daughter and I, we love, when I was looking through your IMDb, we've seen a lot of all the Barbie movies we've been in. We love those. I was like, oh, I know him.
And it's very funny because with voiceover, it's there's so many people doing so many things, and you come in and do your part. Acting's like that in general. You kind of show up after a lot of the work has already been done, and then, you know, kind of take all the credit. I'm being a little bit silly, but it's sort of true. And in voiceovers, in cartoons, it's kind of like that. You know, there's so many people who have done so much work to animate this project and bring it to life and shepherd it along for years and years, you know, many times, especially with those bigger movies. And you never know which one is going to be really popular. I did a series, the hero character in a series called Gundam Wing. And little did I know at the time, it was kind of what Star Wars, what Gundam Wing to Japan is kind of what Star Wars is to America.
Oh, awesome. Wow, yeah.
Massive, you know, franchise. I didn't even know how big it was until I actually was in Tokyo.
And well, we know how big Star Wars is.
That's cool.
It was, it's cool. It's cool to be a part of it, and you know, and be part of something that you know, that so many people find so much, you know, so much happiness in.
That's awesome. So how so did you do all of your voiceover work? Was that all when you were in Canada?
You know, it's sort of traveled with me, and now I kind of do it all over the world.
Nice.
Cool.
I did work in Canada, yeah, for about 20 years before I started spending a little more time in the States. But now it's in the U.S., it's in Canada, it's in London, it's all over the place.
Very cool. That's awesome.
So you choose for Vancouver to still be your home, right, as opposed to a lot of actors that have relocated to L.A. or New York.
You know, I actually moved to the States some years ago, but I do consider Vancouver home.
Oh, okay.
It's always going to be my home. It's because that's where I was born and raised.
Nice.
And incidentally, Canada is crushing it at the Olympics this year, so
yes.
Hats off to them.
Yeah.
So you have
the
a question?
The Winter Olympics is that's our every 4 years we're good. The Summer Olympics we're so-so in. Although we've got some great Summer Olympic athletes, too. But winter, we really got our bases covered in the winter sports.
Mark, you're so well-diversified. I mean, I wish my stock portfolio looked as good as you. I read that you taught yourself how to play Beethoven at the age of 10. What inspired you?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I did do that. I did teach myself Beethoven when I was about 10. It's not like I, you know... It's not as if I sat down and, you know, started playing it, you know, never having played it before. It took some time, you know, as a 10-year-old. I had to work at it. But I was the grandson of two deaf grandparents. My mom's parents were both born deaf. So, you know, it's funny because they never heard a note of music in their life.
Interesting.
And I, as a child, had a sort of a natural inclination towards music. And there was a piano in our house, and nobody played it, but it was there. And so I started to mess around on it, and I taught myself to play. And, you know, I've since released two full-length original albums. Available on iTunes, and I've toured in a bunch of different cities, and I've played some of the best venues in the country. You know, I love music, and it's always been my co-passion, along with acting.
Well, next time you're on the show, we would love to hear a little ditty from you.
I know. Ashley, your awesome publicist, she should have sent us an MP3. We would have played it.
By the way...
Well, we can certainly get you one, and you guys can play it.
Nice.
That'd be awesome.
You can always download and look me up on iTunes.
By the way, Baltimore has a great symphony, so you should come and
play.
The
BSO is fantastic, yes.
You should come play here one day, because there's a lot of classical music fans, one being myself, but you should definitely come here. It's a great...
Unfortunately, I'm going to burst your bubble, because Beethoven was the last classical song I learned, and that was when I was 10, so I'm sorry to disappoint.
So
Although you've moved on to
other musical instruments.
I still play piano, but you know, my records are. I always say the sound is sort of somewhere between like Elton John and Stevie Wonder.
Okay,
cool.
Kind of in that sort of realm of pop, and they've both done some amazing concerts
along with symphony orchestras. So maybe there's hope.
All right. So we got a really cool movie to plug called Nellie Bly. Is that right, Mark? A psychological thriller inspired by the groundbreaking 19th century journalist who went to uncover the abuses and the treatment of women at New York's Blackwell Island Asylum. Interesting. You'll play the role of Bartholomew, and you're the love interest of Christina Ricci's character?
That's all true.
That is awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, Nellie Bly is it's another really interesting project that has a sort of a moral sort of exploration or like a good message, you know, to put out in society. Yeah, it's also based on a true story. and it was around, I think, 1890 in New York that Nellie Bly was writing for Joseph Pulitzer. And she went undercover and pretended to be crazy and got admitted to Blackwell Island Asylum for the Mentally Deranged, or whatever they called it, and she exposed abuses. This was an all-women's hospital that was more like a prison. And she wrote about the abuses that she witnessed there, and it became one of the first sort of expose pieces of journalism of its kind. So it's an interesting story to tell now, given that, you know, expose journalism has really come, is very much in the news, so to speak, right now. And it stars Christina Ricci and Judith Light, who's wonderful.
Oh, yeah, Judith Light.
Hopefully it'll be a good project.
That's going to be on Lifetime.
Really good.
So you just wrapped that, so probably not sure on the release date for that.
Sometime this year.
Fantastic.
I remember hearing about that story.
Yeah?
Yeah, I remember reading about that.
That's
happening.
Awesome.
I remember Christina Ricci hitting on me on a movie set.
Oh, Christina Ricci hit on you?
Yeah, she did. She was about 19, so she was a little young at the time. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Mark might have had some maybe kissing scenes with Christina Ricci.
Well, I don't kiss and tell.
Good man,
good
Mark.
Answer.
I guess we'll have to wait until this comes out.
You're going to have to wait and see. You know,
awesome.
I wouldn't want to give it away, but that I do play. You know, I play Christina's love interest.
And, nice.
It was really interesting to think about. You know, how to play those roles for me, because, you know, here's a story about. Now, this is what I would consider an actual period piece, right? 1890s, right?
Right,
that
is period piece,
not
yeah.
1998, okay?
Right.
Just say it, you
know? Right.
The 90s were just
anyway.
Yesterday.
What was Christina like, though?
Christina was great. You know, she played the role beautifully, and she also produced this film. So, you know, it was a really interesting challenge to think about.
Awesome.
Like, if you got a groundbreaking female character, you know, who's really a strong person, strong enough to, you know, to go ahead and accomplish what Nellie Bly accomplished. You know, what type of a guy would she be with? You know, my contention was, like, it couldn't be just your, like, typical sort of, you know, guy who, you know, takes care of everything and is very,
right.
you know, manly and chivalrous and all that. I was like, he would have to be, you know, pretty progressive too. Otherwise, you know, it wouldn't make sense. And so we got to sort of think about it like that. You know, how would that be? Because there's a dynamic between them that he, you know, he's obviously worried and concerned and doesn't know where she is, and then finally takes action. And hopefully we did it in a way that, you know, that shows how a great relationship can be a team, as opposed to, you know, the man is the hero, that kind of thing.
It's nice to talk to a guy who shared the same woman. It's pretty cool.
Oh, you and Christina, right?
Oh, sorry.
I forgot you hit on your own side.
I don't kiss and tell.
You don't kiss and tell either, right?
No,
okay.
No, no.
We'll talk about that one off the air, Cokie. But that's cool. We're looking forward to that. But, of course, next week, Mark, we can even see you sooner in The Looming Tower, which comes out on Hulu. And, again, thanks so much for calling in a Below the Belt show, Mark. We're excited about The Looming Tower. It looks fantastic. The trailer looks awesome. And I can't wait to see it.
Congratulations on everything.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. We appreciate you guys having me on, and we'll speak again sometime, maybe when I got a record out.
Yeah, that would be
awesome.
Cool. So before we let you go, Mark, if you could, let us know who you are, throw out a plug for Looming Tower, and let us know you're listening to Below the Belt Show, and then throw out whatever you want at the end.
Okay, cool. This is Mark Hildreth from The Looming Tower with Jeff Daniels and Peter Sarsgaard, premiering February 28th on Hulu. I'm listening to Below the Belt, and I hope you are too.
That's awesome. Thanks so much. Mark, thanks
cool.
for calling in. Have a good night.
Thanks, right Mark.
On. Thank you, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
That was awesome. Mark Hildreth. All right, Koki, you want to talk about your Christina Ricci story?
No, like I said, I don't kiss
all
and tell.
All right, okay.
So
okay, but she actually hit on you. That's interesting. What film was that?
Pecker.
Oh, okay,
yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
That was John Waters' film, correct?
It was.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. During your acting days.
Correct.
Oh, awesome. Yes. Well, we'll have to hear this off air.
Maybe sometime.
Okay.
Over a pint or two.
Over a pint or two. Yeah. All right. So...
St. Patty's is coming up.
Oh, I can't wait for that. All right, some more music news. Kesha apparently has to postpone some of her upcoming shows. She had to have knee surgery. She suffered a torn ACL. So well wishes go out to Kesha. She really did an amazing job at the Grammys, her performance of her Praying song.
Did they say how she hurt her knee?
Yes, she did. She fell and suffered the ACL during her show in Dubai.
Aww.
Yeah. So Marilyn Manson actually had a show in Baltimore last week, but he had another show in Huntington, New York. It actually,
they told him to fuck off, basically.
Yeah, he had
right?
a meltdown on stage. Yeah. So apparently they played five songs. He had a meltdown on stage, which abruptly ended the show only after five songs. So a lot of fans are really pissed off. I mean, I'd be too. If I was a paying customer and the band only played five songs and then they...
I think he
did
was
they
trying...
Did they reimburse any of the money?
That's...
Did
they I know
they,
a lot
they
of
people... tried. People wanted their money back, but I don't believe they got a reimbursement on that concert.
That's always a weird thing because like they didn't really cancel it, but at the same time, it's
but
like...
they didn't give the performance that,
that
you
they,
paid
they,
for.
That they, yeah, exactly.
So
how do you really prorate that? Per minute, hour.
Yeah. Here's $5 back. Sorry, you missed the rest of the show.
That's a good point.
But
yeah.
While he was playing, I saw the video, and he actually, it was weird. He was asking the crowd to give him love. Like, you know, he wanted them to, like, kiss his ass, and basically he got in sort of an argument with the crowd.
Yeah, he wanted the audience to say that he loved him.
Yeah.
Something. And
yeah.
He threw down his microphone, walked off stage. People said it was one of the strangest things that they've ever seen. Christina Aguilera posted some very racy implied nude pics of her in a bathtub for an unexpected photo shoot. She shared this with her fans on Instagram. If you want to check it out on Instagram, series of black and white photos. She poses with a rectangular tub with her blonde hair and definitely the suds were covered in the naughty bits, I guess.
I bet you she doesn't have purple drapes.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. So Paris Hilton had a birthday this past Saturday, and she actually shares the same birthday as my sister. It's interesting.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
Why is that interesting?
Well, it's,
how many billions of people are on this planet?
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, okay.
So her sister Nikki was there, and she actually partied with Michael's daughter, Michael Jackson's daughter, also Paris Jackson. So she actually posted a photo that said Paris and Paris with Paris Hilton and Paris Jackson together. Did we find the Christina Aguilera photos? I think somebody
did. Yes, we
did.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice.
Dirty 2.0, you know? You know, she had that dirty phase with Christina Aguilera. She might do that again. We talked about it last, but again, we're still so saddened, distraught about the 17 victims from the Parkland shooting from last week. And Camila Mendez, who's one of the stars of Riverdale, she actually, she's actually from Parkland, Florida.
Oh, wow.
So she actually said that Parkland used to be her home. Her sister attended that school.
Oh,
Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. She said it's a devastating that such a violent tragedy happened in a place that she considered safe and associated with such innocent childhood memories. The fact that she's from there and something so horrible that took place. I mean,
it's devastating.
I don't know what we need to do.
Well, the first thing is they're going to need to change the gun laws and up the age of, people.
A lot of people said the age should be up to like 25, maybe. If you can be 20.
I mean, it's got to be a minimum of 21 at least.
I would say 25.
25 would be
better. To rent a car, you have to be 25.
So it should be at least 25 because technically the brain, and especially a male brain, doesn't stop actually developing until the age of 25. So. That said, I think that's the good age.
That's a good age for that to happen.
There's a video that has been shared where this 13-year-old boy, they filmed him go into a liquor store trying to buy alcohol. They said no. He went in trying to get a porno magazine. He said, no, you're 13. Tried to get a lottery ticket. They're like, no, you're 13.
Right.
Went to a gun show.
Lottery tickets, porno mags, alcohol. Easier. All easier.
Cigarettes, they said, absolutely not, you're 13. Then went to a gun show, bought a gun within minutes.
See?
And that's
that has to fucking change.
And what, like,
unfreaking believable.
And gun control, like, people automatically think that means we want to take all the guns away.
No, yeah, that's,
and that's not what.
That is definitely not the case, thank you.
And that's what drives me crazy. I'm like, it's not, I believe in the Second Amendment, but there needs to. But when the Second Amendment was written,
they need some stricter guidelines.
Exactly. And like, if you can regulate a car, people regulate a car.
These are innocent children, guys, that have been slain.
Breaks my heart.
I mean, you have kids. You know, I'm an uncle. You know, it's like, I don't know what needs to be. Other than stricter handgun laws or assault rifle laws, obviously more thorough. Mental evaluations.
But the problem with that is, there's not enough manpower to,
To do all those checks.
Do all those checks on everybody.
Well,
so
there should be a department funded by the government to do that.
Can't do it.
There has to be. There should be.
There should be. It's not going to happen.
Look at all these shoots. Look at Las Vegas, dude.
You know darn well that the NRA puts millions of dollars into the representatives and senators' hands to for guns. They give money to support Republicans and Democrats, and because of that, that'll never change. It's not going to change.
Yeah.
And if you want it to change, everybody who's a voter is going to have to start voting these people out. And going to meetings and trying to get the law changed. That's the only way you're going to do it. But today, it's not going to change.
No. So with this tragedy, I don't know, this time feels different. I feel like change could be coming with this one. It feels like it's made a stronger impact. So I'm hoping.
I don't know how many. I mean, you say a stronger impact, but my gosh, we're talking how many shootings this year already?
It shouldn't have taken.
And last year? And the Vegas shooting, which took 58 people? You know?
Something needs to be done. Something needs to change.
I don't recall as many shootings when the last couple of years have been really, really bad. Really bad.
I can drive down to Baltimore City right now and buy a gun for under $100. Mm-hmm. Under an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how easy it is.
That's
pretty sad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, thanks for making that point. Gun control, stricter gun control is not about taking your Second Amendment right to bear arms. It's not. It's just a more thorough process. And it has to be
the other idea was to put everybody military. Well, right, and changing the guidelines for military weapons, AR-15, getting rid of that rifle. But also, maybe everybody needs to serve a year in the military. Makes them grow up.
Wow.
Makes them maybe change a little bit in other
countries do
right,
that.
Correct. We don't. And that maybe that straightens
another
some people out.
Another person mentioned an armed guard that's at every school. I don't know if there's, again, another manpower issue.
Can't be everywhere at once with an armed guard. So you have that school in Parkland, Florida with 3,000 students. You have one armed guard. You can't be everywhere.
That could have made a difference.
In some schools in Baltimore City, the police aren't even allowed to even carry their weapons in the school. So what point? They're like babysitters. They're not even. What's the point of being a police officer if you can't carry your gun in the school? So the other idea is to have teachers now
that I'm
armed, have then let them be armed.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
it's only a matter of time before, you know, there's always bad teachers. I mean, there's amazing teachers, but there's also, you know,
they have security checks at the airport that we had to institute. What about within the school system?
I think
I would be on board. Some schools
have
that.
I would be on board with
that. Some schools have that.
I would definitely be on board with metal detectors.
But it gets down to the end of the day, if it's money, you have to put a minimum, let's say there's one school, I forgot where it is, I think it's in the Midwest, they have $400,000 in technology in their school, mm-hmm. and they can detect weapons, they can shut things off, they can put smoke in the hallways and things. Mm-hmm. But that costs the taxpayers money. We don't have that money to do everything. But something has to change. And there's certain things, small steps that they can do to mm-hmm. step up the protection of children.
Absolutely.
Now,
yeah. So,
and this whole idea of snitching, if you have a friend, if anybody listens in her high school, if they know somebody that's carrying a gun or threatening somebody or even has a mental illness, you got to get them help mm-hmm. or tell them. It's not snitching. You're saving people's lives. And you may save that person. And that person needs help. So you got to get, you know, help for that person. In addition to that,
those social media posts,
trying to save your friends and yourself.
My gosh, right? And there was an example. I don't remember the exact person or where it was located, but someone actually, I think it was a father that reported his own daughter
found the journal.
Found a journal. Just proactively prevented a mass shooting from happening. So again, like you said, more
the other. You know, side of that is now there's one person whose father or parent or whomever turned their daughter in. The daughter's doing 20 years in prison. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a little stiff. I think that's taking, you know, the law to the extreme. So there needs to be something a little bit more balanced than putting somebody in jail for 20 years on trying, you know, attempting to kill people, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. This is a crazy situation. Now, didn't the shooter actually post Instagram posts of his guns?
He wants to be a few.
He posted an Instagram post,
And
FBI were watching him. He had made comments on a YouTube page, a YouTuber's video.
So they were watching him, but yet
he said, "I'm going to be the next
future
shooter."
School
and
shooter.
So the YouTuber contacted the FBI immediately, and so they had. Had been watching this guy and
it was too late.
They've been watching him for months. This was months ago.
There's a video of him in the backyard, but brandishing his gun around.
He clearly didn't indicate what he was going to make his attack or where.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Did you see the video of him? You know, he has his gun in his backyard. He's walking around with a 9mm in his backyard, and his neighbor's filming. I mean, you know,
it's horrible.
Let's try to talk about nicer things. Well, this is all sad news, I guess, that I have here. I'll go back to that later. I don't want to talk about sad news.
By the way, I'm just going to let you guys know that for Christmas, I'm just going to buy you all bulletproof vests instead of movie tickets for you and alcohol for you. And you're new. We haven't got you at a gift.
Right.
You're all getting bulletproofs. You're fashionista. We'll get something nice for you. Like a bulletproof jacket with like fur around it, fur bulletproof gloves, something that you like, sweats maybe, I don't know.
I guess we'll change the tone of a little more lighter things. Congratulations to Amy Schumer. She had like a surprise wedding. I think last week we were talking about how she made her relationship official, and now just this week she actually got married.
She married a chef.
To a chef named Chris Fisher, yep. Interesting, they weren't together very long, but I guess,
it was secret for
a long time. But Jennifer Lawrence was actually in attendance at the wedding. Jake Gyllenhaal was there. Jennifer Aniston, Larry David from I pointed to you.
That's very funny.
No, I'm sorry. Judd Apatow. Yeah. And David Spade.
My theory on why she married the chef is because she doesn't.
Oh,
she likes to eat, and she doesn't. She doesn't like to cook, so she got lazy, settled with the chef. So,
oy vey.
Yeah, right.
Hey, the kitchen is the heart of the home.
And, you know, for Amy Schumer too.
Just make sure the mic is close.
So closer.
Kat Von D got married, the tattooed artist, tied the knot with Liefer Sayer, who's the singer of a band called Prayers. Never heard of Prayers, at least in the band form. engagements, celebrity engagements include Toni Braxton and rapper Birdman. Tony.
And Tony's locally from here.
Tony, I think, is from Annapolis,
stepmom.
Right?
Yeah, my stepmom went to high school with her.
Look at that. How cool is that? That's awesome. Let's see. Russell Tovey from Quantico got engaged to his boyfriend, fitness coach Steve Brockman, and Big Brother reality stars Cody Nixon and Jessica Graf, who met on Big Brother, went on Amazing Race, and they're on the top four. He actually proposed to Jessica on the Amazing Race.
Crazy. Congratulations.
Yeah. Celebrity relationship news. One of your favorite actresses, Dakota Johnson, and Chris Martin. Their relationship apparently is taking the next step forward. As you know, Chris was married to Gwyneth Paltrow. Now Chris has moved on to Dakota. Apparently they haven't officially said that they're together, but they've been spotted together by paparazzi or whatever. They were cited being cozy, laughing, and affectionate. And apparently spent some time together in Malibu. So at the Soho House. Ooh, very exclusive. Sue Fox, you're a fan of 50 Shades Freed, and then you had some comments about the fashion.
Yeah, I mean, Dakota looked absolutely stunning during the Golden Globe Awards. She was wearing a Gucci beautiful black gown. Perhaps she was the most notably dressed in this Gucci gown. And she just radiated. It came with a huge, big surprise in the back, though, a beautiful star beaded pattern that was so elegant.
Well, it's good to see Dakota dress because she was not wearing much in 50 Shades Freed.
And incidentally, there's one more film coming out.
Well, it already came out.
It did come out.
Oh, okay.
You've seen the first two.
Yeah, I saw the first two. Yeah.
Did you enjoy them?
I did.
Yeah. What do you think of Dakota?
She's cute.
Yeah.
She's cute. I was a big fan of her dad's more than anything.
Oh, so, Don Johnson.
Seen the movie.
I don't think Melanie Griffin or Don would want to see.
They probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
But she's been, What
about at the 50 Shades red carpet? Do you have that?
Well, she wore Prada to the 50 Shades premiere in Paris, and it was a beautiful, elegant, white beaded gown.
Okay.
And prior to that, there was a lot of talk about this elegant red suit that she wore on the Hollywood Film Awards, and it was a Calvin Klein suit. So she seems to have a fetish for Gucci, Prada, as well as Calvin Klein.
Nice.
But you know what? Some of the girls have been asking, at least on some of the blogs and stuff, you know, what does Dakota have on her lips? So let's talk about lips, baby. Let's talk about you and me.
Oh, boy.
Yes, let's.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, Glamour said it best in February 10th's article. You know Dakota Johnson's lipstick in 50 mm-hmm. Shades of Freed is good when during a scene in which she licks melted Ben and Jerry's off Jamie Dornan's pelvis, you stop paying attention and think, damn, I love that shade. Sorry for the spoiler, but it really is the thought here. So her lipstick is really put together, and it basically stands the test of time, too, throughout the movie. So for those that have interest, and which girls love cosmetics, even during, I think, the Great Depression, cosmetic industry really wasn't touched mm-hmm. all that much. But Anastasia's lipstick in 50 Shades Darker was Glossier's Dark Plum Jam. And the film's makeup artist, Evelyn Noraz, wanted colors that were less bright and actually more sophisticated to represent the role of the character evolving.
Okay.
So for girls out there that want to go to Sephora, Nordstrom, Saks, Neiman Marcus, and all the following.
Ice cream parlor.
Yeah.
Yes, don't forget that.
What's your favorite Ben and Jerry's?
Cokie, do you have a favorite? Do you have a favorite flavor?
I don't.
You're not a vanilla kind of guy.
I like the just stuff in it. Just okay. Much.
So wait. So you're Dr. Lick, correct?
Correct.
So
right?
So what do you like to? Any edibles you like to lick off of?
I'm going back to my lipstick segment here. You might enjoy
strawberries.
These.
Strawberries.
Strawberries.
Nice.
Strawberries is nice. Okay. Yeah, so that's what you prefer.
With chunks of strawberry and whipped cream. Yeah.
So you might really like these lipstick flavors and colors. So basically, what they
not for
did
myself,
was
but,
well, no, they right. did a rotation of four different shades for Anna's everyday looks. One of which was Rouge Dior in Pomade. It was a pinky nude, and also a Laura Mercier Lip Parfait, which was a creamy color bomb in Sin Full. Get it? Sin, C-I-N-N, as a spoof on cinnamon.
Yes.
As well as the Armani Ecstasy Shine in number 101, which was a brownish pink with a hint of shine, and the MAC Satin Lipstick in Twig, which was the rosiest of the four products. NARS Velvet MAC Lip Pencil in Walkery also got noted as a pinky beige but slightly darker and sexier hue. So, girls, you can go out there and go some shopping and some damage on Sephora.com. So,
okay. Well, Sephora's not paying us, but if
No. Okay. So, but now the summer is coming, girls. So yeah. The honeymoon shinies that Dakota was featured in during the movie was an exact pair of Ray-Bans. So you can find those on Ray-Bans.
I like my Ray-Bans. Yes. Yeah. Yes, the aviators for sure. So cool. Well, thanks for the
you're so welcome.
The 50 Shades fashion segment by Miss Sue Fox.
Wait, let's ask Sue, what's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
What do you like?
Oh, wow. Well, I do like a little variety. Maybe the, you know what? Dark chocolate always works.
Okay. Nice. And we have plenty of dark chocolate still.
And with fresh fruit on top, maybe a little whipped cream.
Okay.
That's nice.
That sounds great.
I'm getting some ice cream later.
There you go. Let's see. Lucy Hale. You might know her from Pretty Little Liars. Yes. She's got a new dude in her life. Her co-star from Life Sentence. Don't know what Life Sentence is. At least the TV show is.
That's going to be airing soon.
I know that Larry Nassar and O.J. Simpson used to know about a Life Sentence, but... apparently they were packing on some PDA after having dinner at Pace Restaurant.
Sounds like it's going to be an interesting show.
What do you know about Life Sentence?
So it's about Lucy Hale's character. It has cancer, and so she's been preparing to die. She's saying her goodbyes. They only give her a short amount of time to live.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, she finds out that they got rid of it. So she's preparing to die. And then it turns out
that she's healed.
She's healed. And so it's the, aftermath of her living her life.
Cool. So second chance of life.
Checking, yep.
That's so cool. That's
very,
actually really
very
nice.
Interesting. Her partner, the guy on the show, they get married before they think she's going to die. And
it's art imitating life, it seems like.
It sounds like it's going to be a really cool show. And I'm excited because I watched
Pretty Little Liars. Yeah.
My guilty pleasure. So I'm kind of excited. I'm excited to see her in a different show. It'll be cool.
Sweet. That's awesome. Big celebrity split. Jennifer Aniston and Justin Theroux. They were together for only 3 years, married for 3 years. Apparently just announced their separation, and the decision was mutual and made at the end of last year, so the end of 2017. Apparently they couldn't do it privately for a while, I guess, but eventually it was going to come out. That's unfortunate. Obviously, Jennifer Aniston has had her ups and downs, of course, being linked to Brad Pitt previously. For many years. There's another big split in Hollywood as well. Rebecca Gayhart and Eric Dane. They've been together for 14 years. So they're split. I was a real surprised to hear about Justin Theroux and Jen Aniston. I'm surprised that they...
you've been married for a while.
Yep.
Sue, are you married?
No, okay. I was.
Okay, so... Being that you've had the longest relationship in this room, what makes a good long relationship? Because it doesn't seem as everybody
can't stay together anymore. Like, it just doesn't. I mean, I don't know if it's Jennifer Aniston picks the wrong person or she's got issues herself.
And in the case with you, Allie, your current husband's your first boyfriend and only boyfriend, correct?
I'm his first girlfriend.
Okay.
I mean, he was my first serious boyfriend. I mean, my other previous boyfriends, like, one month, you know.
Okay,
so he was
okay.
my first, like, serious, you know, serious boyfriend.
Okay. Intimate relationship?
What's that?
Oh, no, never mind.
he was my first. We were both there. Yeah.
Oh, each other's first.
We were both each other's first.
Okay.
So tell what makes in your life a good lasting long relationship.
For me, he's my best friend. We tell each other everything. We definitely have our ups and downs like any other relationship, but he's, you know, more than just, you know, my husband and like my lover. He's also my best friend. We have fun together. We still hang out all the time, and we just, you know, it's more than just a marriage. It's also a friendship.
I think it's very important to be an example to everyone that you need to be friends with your significant other to make
absolutely.
A long-lasting relationship.
Right.
See? That's one of the keys. Mm-hmm. Not just, oh, that person's hot. That person's great
that's
in bed.
All
that person
yeah.
makes a lot of money. That person's smart. No, bullshit. That's a lot of superficial stuff, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have some kind of basis, some friendship, and some similar interests.
Yeah.
We have a lot in common.
That's good.
We're both big nerds.
There you go.
And so, taking it to the other extreme, your marriage that didn't
work. I don't
know
if Fox is ready to talk about that.
No, wait.
No,
you
we
can
make
share. Stuff up. Wait, why didn't yours work out? What happened?
I mean, everyone's relationship is quite tailored and different.
Of course.
But I can say, by looking at past experiences and, you know, even mine, I think that really the common similarity of having the same goals and envisioning the same lives. So people are very successful in corporations and in companies. And what makes them so successful is because they usually have goals and they share their ambitions and their dreams together and they work toward that.
So you dated a loser. You married a loser.
No, I did not.
He was a couch potato.
He's probably listening to the show right now, actually.
Just didn't work out is basically
you know what?
Reconcilable
just,
differences?
Yeah, it didn't work out, but we live and learn. I think everyone should try being married at least one time. I think that you should you need that experience in life. So I don't necessarily believe in divorce. That wasn't how I was raised, but it takes two to make things work in tango. So I believe in love and true love, and so what's out there is out there. So,
okay. All right. Sue Foxy with her.
And you're writing this book when now? Relationship book is coming out.
101.
This summer, right?
Oh, boy. The fashionista writing relationship book. Just a couple things. We'll end tonight's show. This is a lot of fun, guys. I feel really bad for a former BTB guest who actually was on Survivor. As you know, I'm good friends with Johnny Fairplay. You know Johnny.
Right.
One of his good friends, who was also on Survivor, was Jenna Maraska. Apparently, she was actually a former winner who won the $1 million prize, arrested last month for a DUI and drug possession. And she tried to bite the police officer that tried to arrest her. But the problem was is that she actually overdosed. She OD'd. So the officers were actually trying to save her by giving her that Narcan, that overdose reversal drug, which the medics arrived, and apparently they moved her to an ambulance. Jenna's been on our show a while back. She was really sweet, and I met her in person through Fairplay. She was actually at Fairplay's wedding. Really nice girl.
Was she dozing off at the wedding?
She wasn't dozing off at the wedding, and that might have been prior to her demons or her problems that she had, but didn't realize she had that bad of a problem. But apparently she was also in a car with a friend, and they found a Ziploc bag containing syringes in her purse. Yeah. So I hope Jenna certainly gets the help that she needs.
Definitely.
I mean, considering that she was the $1 million winner from Survivor,
she probably spent a lot of that.
I hope she didn't. Yeah, I mean,
she probably did.
Yeah. Partying.
And I know you're a fan of Ariel Cabell.
Ariel.
Yeah. Ariel Cabell. Yeah, right. And she was in 50 Shades Freed. She was the realtor. So her sister was reported missing last week, but happy to know that her sister was found.
She was found. Okay.
Yeah, but they didn't specify a reason why she went missing, which I thought was interesting.
Oh.
They just said that she was found. It's a Julia's
sister. I actually sent her a message on Twitter.
Did she respond? Saying,
she just said she liked what I said.
Oh, she
just,
did.
That's all she did.
Oh, very
but
nice, Cokie.
You know, I'm hoping that, you know, your sister's found and my prayers are with you and your family and stuff.
And you'll be happy to know she's in 50 Shades Freed, so that'll be another reason for you to want to watch it.
Nice, okay.
Cool. But she did a great job in that role. She was kind of.
She did.
Yeah.
Was she in the Vampire Diaries?
She was.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
That's okay.
Yeah. And 90210.
Yep, exactly, you're talking about
the new 90210 on CW. We didn't talk about this stuff. So I don't know.
We should definitely say congratulations to Adam Levine and his beautiful wife as they welcome Gio Grace, a welcome little addition for. Dusty Rose too.
Okay.
To have a sister.
Oh, nice!
And
yeah.
I'm sure we'll be seeing really cute little kid fashions coming from the Levine household.
Oh, and I gotta give a shout out to my buddy Mike the Miz Mizanin of WWE. Him and his wife Maurice just had their baby shower, a celebrity baby shower in Los Angeles. Avril Lavigne. I know our buddy Alonzo is a good friend of Levine's, right?
He is.
Yeah. Ryan Cabrera and Avril Lavigne actually stopped by.
Cool.
That's awesome. I was obsessed with them in high school.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? I loved Avril. She was a sweetheart.
Me too.
Yeah. Rosa Mendez, Total Diva star, was also in attendance as well. Rosa was actually in Maryland at MCW Pro Wrestling. The Four Horsemen had a reunion.
Cool.
As we talked about last week on Below the Belt Show when Chunk Shady was in studio to plug that. But Ric Flair, Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, and Barry Windham were all in the house.
Nice.
And Ric Flair was asked, who would be the Four Horsemen today if he were to choose? And he said, Dolph Ziggler, Seth Rollins, and then he had to think about two more. Kind of like, okay, maybe Dave Bautista and maybe Roman Reigns, he said, would be like the modern day Four Horsemen.
Not even the Big Show. He wouldn't split the Big Show.
You gotta be able to party and do it right. Uh-huh. And you also had to have style and woo, he was all about jet flying, limousine riding,
right,
wheeling, dealing, kissing, son of gun. Woo! That was Ric Flair.
Okay.
He was great. WWE, very surprising, shocking Hall of Fame nomination for the class of 2018 is Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett was actually publicly fired from WWE a long time ago. Apparently in the WWE, you can't really burn a bridge completely because he was later recognized for being in the Hall of Fame. Jeff Jarrett caused a lot of controversy because he actually demanded that he have X amount of money to lose the title after his contract ended, and it just caused a big controversy within the WWE. But definitely a very, very shocking nomination for the Hall of Fame for class of 2018. And Jeff Jarrett joins Goldberg, your boy, along with I know the President G, right? Along with the Dudley Boys and Ivory, who's former Tina Ferrari on GLOW, into the WWE Hall of Fame. Baltimore's own Rich Swann and WWE had parted ways, unfortunately. So Rich Swann was in a little bit of a domestic dispute, but he hadn't even gone to trial yet. I feel bad because he was a Baltimore guy that made it in WWE, and I'm always cheering for the Baltimore DMV, hometown hero. But unfortunately, they decided to mutually part ways. I guess he still has a lot to work out with his domestic abuse case, which he claims innocence. So he says so. Elimination Chamber pay-per-view is this Sunday, so I'm looking forward to that. And that's really much it, man.
Quick birthdays.
We got birthdays today to announce.
Birthdays.
Actress Tyne Daly is 72. C-3PO, Anthony Daniels. Yep, is 72 as well. Actress Christine Ebersole is 65. Actor William Peterson is 65 as well. Kelsey Grammer, Frasier himself?
Kelsey.
Yes, is 63. Not to be confused by our friend Mr. Cary Anderson. Actor Kim Coates is 60. Jack Coleman from Heroes is 60.
This is the geriatric birthday.
Yeah, we're going down in age.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But you know Jack Coleman, who's the Hayden Panettiere's father.
Yes.
Yeah. Christopher Atkins is 57. William Baldwin is 55. That's Billy Baldwin. We heard the opening promo. That's why I played that one, which is pretty funny. He's talking about Trump. Definitely not a Trump fan. Titus Burgess is 39. One that you might like, Jennifer Love Hewitt, is 39. Jordan Peele, one of the coolest guys I met at the Screen Actors Guild Award.
Oh,
really
that's
nice guy.
Awesome.
I told him how much of a fan I was of Get Out, and it said it gave me nightmares. And he's like, "It's supposed to give you nightmares." That's what I was intending. Very, very creepy film. If you haven't seen Get Out, yes, highly recommended. Let's see, Charlotte Church, singer Charlotte Church, 32. Ashley Green from Twilight's 31. Ellen Page is 31. I know you're an Ellen Page fan,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I like her. She's cute.
Me too.
Very cute.
Actor Corbin Bleu is 29. Haley Orantia from Goldbergs. Do you watch the Goldbergs?
I do not.
Okay. I know Chachi's a big fan. No. She's 24. And Sansa Stark herself, the Lady of Winterfell from Game of Thrones. She is 22, Your Grace, today. So happy birthday,
happy
Sansa
birthday.
Stark.
Actually, Alonzo's a fan of hers.
Sophie Turner?
Yeah, just her age.
Oh, age range. Okay, yeah.
Next show, why don't you do it in your lovely British accent?
I can do the accent. Actually, when I got back from England, right after the show from September, I actually tried to use the accent for the whole time. Cokie, you didn't really think I did a good job, but, you know, it's all right.
Oh, Lord, you know, sports.
You know, I tried to talk in the accent. It's
quite lovely.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Your Grace. Thank you, my lady, and thank you, my lord.
I wish I could do. I'm horrifying at accents. As someone who does voiceover,
right.
My accents
You got a lot
horrifying.
To watch of BBC and Game
and
of Thrones.
And I do. Like, I watch like
Doctor Who.
I'm constantly watching Doctor
Who,
and my British accent is horrible.
Of course, we have to thank, of course, our special caller, Mark Hildreth. Make sure you check out The Looming Tower on Hulu on February 28th for you Hulu subscribers. I don't have Hulu, so if somebody wants to give me their password, I can watch it. Thanks so much for the ladies in studio. Of
Thank
course,
you.
Miss Allie Dash, check out her commercial where you can see it again.
You can see it on YouTube. If you type in Do Date Night Right DC.
Nice.
And then it's also airing during all the late night shows like Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, and SNL,
cool.
James Corden. It's also on ESPN,
wow.
BET, VH1, Hallmark Channel.
Has anyone recognized you yet?
Yeah, so when I've had a few friends that are like, "Holy crap, your commercials during SNL
so people
that
are
and
you, okay.
Jimmy Fallon," but I haven't had anyone like.
Strangers
I don't
on the
think
street.
It's, yeah, I'm not that
come
like
up to you
no.
Yet. That's still pretty freaking no. Awesome for sure. Sue Fox,
it's
thank you much
fun.
For coming in Below the Belt show, doing the fashion segment. That's a first. We've had Oleg the Gay Russian claims to be a fashionista, but he never really talks fashion on the show, right? He's so flamboyant, and he talks about how much of a fashionista he is and a New Yorker he is. But you have fashion down.
Why, thank you.
You have fashion down, Sue Fox.
Thank
so.
You.
Once again, you can check out what Instagram?
Stylehouse.
And Allie Dash, you have an Instagram too?
I do.
Yeah.
It is Allie Dash 9. Alidash
9. Nice. Koki, thanks so much for coming back
Thank you
to
very
BTB.
Much. I'm not an Instagram person.
Yes,
but
you
I
can
am
follow
me
on Twitter.
I am the Koki, real Koki.
The real Koki.
The real Koki.
The real because there's a lot of fake
right.
Kokis out there.
Correct. Yes. Incidentally, I found this girl that took mm-hmm. the name Koki, and mm-hmm. I changed my whole title to the real
Koki. You're the real Koki.
Correct. That's
so
correct.
I decided to play for you, Your Grace,
oh,
a song
you.
From the 50 Shades of Freed soundtrack. She happens to be a complete sweetheart because I work with her on Pitch Perfect 3, which you can actually see on demand. It's not on DVD yet.
And you're actually doing a catwalk on that.
I am in the film.
I'm going to watch this.
I'm in the film in the aquarium fundraiser party scene.
Oh.
Check me out. Anyways, this is Haley Steinfeld.
Awesome.
Who,
she's cute.
She's adorable. She's a great actress, phenomenal singer.
She's part Filipino, isn't she?
Wait a minute. Are you sure about that?
She's, hold on.
Find out about it. I did not hear that one. That's,
yeah, that, I didn't hear that one either.
She's mixed with something. I heard find her. Maybe out. It's not Filipino. Maybe
someone's
it's
blushing on the set.
But yeah, so her song Capital Letters was featured in 50 Shades Freed. So we'll be listening.
Great soundtrack.
It's a pretty good soundtrack, right? So yeah, Allie's going to find out if see if that's
let's see. Or
true or fake
something.
News.
Let's see.
So Allie's going to check that out. But
yep. She let's see.
She's a Jewish Filipino Jew.
Steinfeld is Jewish. Well, that would be Rob Schneider, right? Rob Schneider.
I am right. She is.
Drum roll, please.
Drum roll. Her father is Jewish, and then her mother was born in California, but her maternal grandfather is half Filipino and half African American.
Whoa!
She's also has English, German, Scottish, Irish.
Wow!
Ancestry
I would have
as
never
well.
Guessed.
But so she's
just a little hint of Filipino in her.
Interesting. Yeah, one of us.
Yes. One of us. Pokey, you're also Jewish. So it's a little bit of the Jewish there.
Oh, you're Jewish, Filipino, and then, yep.
Yep, so you pretty much the whole room.
Yep. And Sue, what is your ethnic background, by the way?
That's
what is,
like
have you done your family tree? Is there a German, Italian, English?
Well, I'm glad you asked. So on Instagram and Twitter and social media, Stahl Haas is H-A-A-S, which
that's
is
German,
the family
right?
German
right.
surname.
Ah, very okay. cool.
We have a German and a Jew in the same studio.
Well, Austrian is my last name. Is Austrian
right.
or Austrian Jew, German.
But wait a minute. I'm not finished. We can also add Dutch to the list as well as English and specifically North Wales.
Okay, very good.
Very cool.
So there you go, old yeah. sport.
Very nice, your cool. grace. So guys, ending the night show, guys, this is Haley Steinfeld with Capital Letters featured from the 50 Shades Freed soundtrack. And that's pretty cool that you told me she's part Filipino. So that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. guys, an incredible show. We'll be back next week. Thanks so much for Mark Hildreth. Thanks for everyone in the studio, guys. Peace out, motherfuckers. See you next week.
Never was a leader. Never had a thing for fairy tales. I'm really a believer. Small voice in the choir. Guess I never dared to know myself. Can my heart be quiet? No. But then there was you. Then there was you. Yeah, then there was you. Pull me out of the crowd.
Songs available only on live broadcasts on WMBC and BelowTheBeltShow.com.
Well, it has been a ill show tonight, and I think we have all learned some valuable lessons. This is your bot for the Bad Boys of Baltimore saying, until next time, keep chilling. Like a villain.
Bye, goodbye, 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 goodbye.